Go to Numbers chapter 6 with me now. Numbers chapter 6. I looked back through my records, my notes, and I cannot find where I preached from this for quite some time, but it seems like I remember doing so, certainly on the radio, but at any rate, Numbers 6, verse 22, let's read these verses, 22 through 27. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Now, this is both a prayer and a pronouncement by our Lord. And the title I've given it is very simply, The Blessing. The Lord said, this is the blessing. I want to be a blessing. I want to be blessed. I want you to be blessed. Well, the Lord has made it easy for me. He's told me what to say, and he said it will be a blessing. This is the blessing. Now, there are many things that we call blessings, and that they are. The blessings of this life, God giveth us all things richly to enjoy, and we call them blessings. They are blessings from the Lord. Now, this is written to the children of Israel. Did you notice that? Say to the children of Israel, I will bless them. Everything in this life, the good things, so to speak, are not necessarily a blessing to the people of this world. Riches, things like that, can be a curse. Scripture says that they will rise up in a judgment against some people. But God's people who know who they're from and give him the glory for them and know that they're unworthy of them and thank him for all of them, that makes them a blessing. But even the what we can think of as bad things are blessings. You know that? Trials. You remember Psalm 91, where Moses said, Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, the years wherein we have seen evil. Because trials are a gift from the Lord. They really are. So, but this is talking about the one thing needful, the blessing. All right, many things we call blessings, but this is the great and true blessing of the Lord, the one thing needful. David said that in Psalm 27, didn't he? He said, one thing is needful, one thing that I desire of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and inquire into his temple. Is that your desire? Is that what you want tonight? This is the house of the Lord. Oh, may we behold the beauty of the Lord here tonight. The blessing that God is pronouncing upon his people is the blessing of salvation. That's what this is all about. The blessing of salvation. Psalm 3, verse 8 says, Salvation belongeth unto the Lord, and thy blessing is upon thy people. So this is the greatest blessing. All of God's people realize that. In these verses, all these verses speak of the blessing of salvation. There's not one material thing mentioned in these verses. Not one earthly material thing is mentioned in these verses. Like Ephesians 1, when Paul said, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according as he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. And he goes on to name the blessings, and not one material thing is mentioned. Not one. He talks about the grace or gift of election, according as he hath chosen us in Christ, predestination, redemption, forgiveness of sin, adoption, gathering grace, revealing grace, sealing grace, and on it goes. That's salvation. So this is the blessing of salvation that he tells the preacher to tell the people. You need a blessing? Well, may God give you ears to hear. And this is how it began. Verse 22. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, and tell them to speak to the people. The greatest blessing, the blessing of salvation, begins when God speaks to you through his word. The greatest blessing is to hear his voice. To hear his word. He said, my sheep hear my voice. The truth. The first book of God's word, Genesis. Life began when God spoke, didn't it? In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth, and God said, let there be light. That's how eternal life begins. When God speaks, when God says, let there be light. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. The last book in the Bible is Revelation. It begins this way. The revelation of Jesus Christ. The blessing of blessing is to have God reveal to you, the Spirit of God reveal to you who Jesus Christ is. This is life eternal, he said in John 17, verse 3. That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom he hath sent. Because no man knoweth the Father but the Son. Neither knoweth any man the Son but the Father. But the Son must reveal the Father to him. To him. So life began with God speaking, and life, spiritual life begins. And in the last book of Revelation, it begins by saying, blessed is he that readeth the words of this book. Blessed. We're so blessed to have this book. We're so blessed to read it. There are more Bibles now than ever, probably. But fewer people that read them. Oh, how blessed we are if we read it. And he went on to say, blessed are they that hear the words of this prophet. We cannot understand what we read unless someone tells us. Unless the word of God is preached to us. What the world calls foolishness. We know is the blessing of God. We hear the word preached. How often you read something, and then you come in here, and we look at it together, and the Lord really blesses his attendant. That's the way he does it. And blessed are they that keep, that lay hold of these words. Now, everyone is born deaf. Everyone. Cannot hear. Our Lord said there in John 8, he says, why is it you cannot, you do not understand my speech? It's because you cannot hear my word. But God, who made the ear and made the eye to see, gives ears to hear that. To hear the blessed voice of the Son of God. To hear the blessed word of God. And he does so through a preacher. And God told Moses, in the beginning God spoke to the prophets. God at sundry times and divers manners spoke unto the fathers by the prophets. Moses was one such prophet. God told Moses, speak to Aaron and his sons. He told Aaron and his sons, the Levites, who represent preachers, told them to speak. Preach the word, didn't he? Preach the word. When Christ ascended on high in Ephesians 4, it says he gave gifts unto me. The greatest gift that he can give people is a preacher of the gospel. Do you believe that? That's what he said. When he ascended on high, he gave gifts unto men. He gave some prophets, some apostles, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Edifying. How shall they hear without a preacher? Romans 10. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring Glad tidings. Oh, how blessed to be sent a preacher. Ask the eunuch what he thinks of Philip. Ask Cornelius what he thinks of Simon Peter. Ask me what I think of Henry Mahan. Many of you send cards to people, and this is another reason I wanted to deal with this. Someone put this number 622 on a card. Some of you have sent me cards in the past, and the first time I dealt with it, Tammy, you sent me a card with that on it, and I preached from it the next Sunday. Well, recently, a sister sitting in this room sent me this card, and she was thanking the Lord for everything, and she was thanking whoever it was that gave a gift for us to have this piano. She was thanking them. But the first thing that she said in this card to me was this: "My heart is so full of praise and thanksgiving to our wonderful Lord, especially that He has given us a pastor who preaches Christ." That is a blessing to me. Woe is unto me if I don't. Necessity is laid upon me. Woe is unto me if I don't preach the gospel. I want to be like Paul the apostle, who said, "I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." So he says, "Speak, Moses, speak, Aaron and his son, speak," verse 23, "on this wise." This way, this is the way you're going to bless my people. This is it. This is the way, no other way, that you shall bless them. Speak to them. Speak my word to them. Preach my word. Tell them what I have said. That's what Paul told young Timothy. Did he say, "I charge you," 2 Timothy 4. He said, "I charge you, Timothy, before the Lord." He said, "Preach the word, Timothy. In season or out of season, there's coming a time when they'll turn away their ears from the truth." But not God's people. They won't turn their ears away. Oh, they'll turn their ears toward Him. One thing is needful, and one thing will bless, and that's the preaching of God's word. It's the gospel. One thing we do. That's the one thing we do here. Because that's the one thing He told us to do. Preach the word. Preach the gospel. There's nothing else. No other blessing. We don't deal with social issues and political issues and civic issues. We don't have fun and games here. We preach the word. Well, is the gospel in these verses? Oh, my. The gospel is in every line of every book and of all of God's book. And I think you'll see it with it. Now, who is this to? I've already told you. He read it with me. "Say unto the children of Israel." Bless the children of Israel. Who is that? That's God's elect. They represent God's elect. Now, God, they are not all Israel that are of Israel. You know that, Romans 2. He is not a Jew which is one outward. Children of the flesh are not the children of God. Children of promise. The elect, God's chosen people. His sheep, he calls them. They're sheep and they're goats. They're God's children and children of the evil one. And they hear his voice. And God will bless his people with the word of truth, his salvation. Look at Ezekiel 34. I read that to you, one verse anyway, from before we sang that hymn, Showers of Blessing. Ezekiel 34. Oh, this is wonderful. About the great shepherd, Ezekiel 34. This is the word of the Lord, the promise of the Lord, of what all he will do and hath done, will do, shall do for his people. The Lord our shepherd, verse 11. You have it? Ezekiel 34:11. "Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out." Who is the Lord God? Who's this talking about? Jesus Christ. Isn't he the good shepherd? Didn't he say that? I'm come to seek and to save that which is lost. He's the one shepherd that the Lord has sent. Look at verse 15. I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. Verse 16. I will seek that which is lost. Will he find them? He sure will. He'll bring again that which was driven away. Bind up that which was broken. Strengthen that which was sick. Verse 22. Therefore will I save my flock. No doubt about it. Call his name Jesus. Why? Or he shall save. Who? His people. From what? Their sin. Verse 22. I will save my flock. They shall no more be a prey. Verse 25. I will make them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the wood. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. Tell the people, the Lord God said, I will bless them. You shall bless the children of Israel. Say it. Now go back to the text. Numbers chapter 6, verse 24. Here's what you say. First thing, the Lord bless them. The Lord bless them. The Lord. The Lord God. When Moses said to the Lord, asked the Lord to show him his glory, he said, I'll make all my goodness pass before you. What is that? That's Christ. He said, I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before you. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering. This is who has pronounced this blessing. You see, there's an imposter over in Rome with a fish on his head, and he pretends to bless so many people. He can't bless anybody. In fact, everyone's cursed that looks to him for a blessing. No one can bless anyone except the Lord. The Lord blesses. If you know that, you're blessed. If you know that it's only him that can confer any blessing upon us, you know you are blessed. The Lord bless thee. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in grace and truth. Keeping mercy for thousands. Does this sound good to you? Forgiving iniquity. What iniquity? All manner of sin. The Lord God, our Savior. The Lord God, omnipotent, who reigneth. The Lord God, our Creator. The Lord God, our Father, our Mediator, our Substitute, our Prophet, our Priest, our King. The Lord Jesus Christ, bless thee. The Lord God of heaven was manifest in the flesh. He came, he chose, he called his disciples, and he sat down one day and he said, come to me. And they came and they sat down and he said, blessed. First word, blessed are they that are poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Is that you? Just a poor sinner and nothing at all. But Jesus Christ is your all in all. You're blessed. The Lord said so. The Lord Jesus Christ bless you. The Lord called his disciples one day and he said, blessed are your ears. They hear. Your eyes, they see. Bless the Lord God. Bless thee. Look at the next thing. And keep thee. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. Now keep means several things, but principally it means to retain, not throw away. It means to protect. It means to provide. The Lord retain thee. The Lord keep thee. Not throw you away. Not cast you out. You know he's going to. He's going to fold this thing up like a vesture and throw it away. There are many he's going to cast out of his presence someday. But some are kept. How? Peter said it. Simon Peter wrote it. He didn't write many words till he couldn't contain it any longer. He said, elect according to the foreknowledge of God are kept by the power of God. We're kept. Some are kept, reserved for himself. Our Lord said to Elijah, who was bemoaning the fact that he was only, or the what he thought he was the only one, and he said, I've reserved for myself 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. They're kept from idolatry. They're kept. Oh my, well, what a blessing to be chosen. That means he's going to keep us. He's going to keep. Turn to 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1. We've got some fishermen in here. And you know, when you go fishing, you catch some little ones and you throw them back, don't you? Don't you? And you catch some big ones and you say, that's what he said. That's a keeper. That's not the way the Lord does it. In fact, it's the opposite. It's the exact opposite. You know, if we catch a big one, we automatically send a picture to the you don't have to ask a fisherman if he's caught anything. If he has, he'll send you a picture real quick. He'll let you know. And it'll be a big one. And you've never sent me a picture holding up a little bluegill. But do you see your calling, brethren? You know, the Lord only keeps little ones. Nothing. Nobody. Those that think there's something, nothing. They have no need of him. He has no need of them. They won't give him the glory. That's the reason God saves. It's for his glory. And here's what he says in 1 Corinthians 1. You see your calling, brethren, verse 26. Not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish thing. You consider yourself a fool or a wise man? I hope you think you're a fool. Fools are taught. Fools are bought. Fools are brought. God hath chosen the weak things of the world. Do you consider yourself strong or weak? Confound the things which are mighty. Base things. Things which are despised. Do you despise yourself? That's who God has chosen. Things which are not. That means nothing. There's John Newton, I believe, who's Matthew Henry. Matthew Henry said, God made everything out of nothing. If he's going to use you, you got to be a nothing. And that's who he chooses. So the Lord keep this. If you're little in your own eyes, if you consider yourself, your only greatness is you're a great sinner, that's who God chooses. That's who God keeps. The word keep means protect. It means to watch over. It means to keep from harm. It means to defend. It means to save. Psalm 121, you know this. Brother Gay sings it to us. The Lord is our keeper. The government's not our keeper. Science is not our keeper. Medicine is not our keeper. No one is our keeper but the Lord. It says this, that he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in. How long? From this time forth and even forevermore. The Lord keep thee, preserve thee, protect thee, defend thee. And then keep means to provide for. It means to take care of, to keep. The Lord is our keeper. He takes care of it. We say this of animals sometimes, like horses or cows. He's an easy keeper. No. Well, that's not said of us. We are high maintenance. We need everything from our Lord. Without him, we can do nothing. He has to provide everything for it. Well, he's promised to do so. Oh, bless the Lord. Oh, we read that. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Forget not all his benefit. And then he goes on to say all those things. And the number one thing was what? Forgiveth all thine iniquity. That's the number one thing. He hadn't dealt with us after us yet. The Lord is our shepherd, our keeper. We shall not want for anything. He shall provide everything we need. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, food, raiment, salvation. His name, you remember when Abraham and Isaac were walking up that mountain? And Isaac said unto the father, here's the wood, and here's the fire. Where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said this, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And he called that name of that place Jehovah Jireh, meaning the Lord will provide. So the Lord will provide. He will keep thee. He will keep thee. Keep also means to do. To do. Keep. Well, we're saved by the doing and the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not by our doings, but his. Now we'll go back to the text. Number 6. So he says, the Lord, pronounce this. Tell the people this. The Lord bless it. The Lord keep it. Verse 25. The Lord make his face to shine upon them. The Lord make his face to shine upon them. Now, if I would ask someone, where do you think I'm going to turn in reference to this? I'd get 12 right answers, I'm certain. 2 Corinthians. Go over there. 2 Corinthians 3. Go there first. Lord, make his face to shine upon thee. Now, no man hath seen God at any time. Isn't that what John 1 said? But, now, it says the only begotten Son that's in the bosom of the Father. He hath declared him. Christ said to his fathers, to his disciples one time, he that hath seen me had seen the Father. Didn't Job say, I shall see God? Who's he going to see? Jesus Christ. Second, he's the Son of Righteousness that came. Everyone, he said, that seeth the Son and believeth on him, he says, I'll raise him up at the last day. We'll look at 2 Corinthians 3. Moses saw the Lord on the mountain, didn't he? He did. Moses saw the Lord in the burning bush, didn't he? That's Christ crucified. You've seen that. You've seen it. Moses saw the Lord in the cleft of the rock, didn't he? His back part. Well, that rock is Christ. So we've seen him too. And it says his face shone. Moses' face shone. When he came down from that mountain, his face shone. Because he was in the presence of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ. And look at 2 Corinthians 3, verse. I'm 1 Corinthians. Hold on. 2 Corinthians 3, it says in verse 7, the ministration of death, that's the law. Letter, the law, killeth. Law says guilty. It's written, engraven in stone, but it was glorious, received of the law. So much so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was done away. He taketh away the first, established the second. And he goes on to say, verse 9, the ministration of condemnation be glory. How much more the ministration of righteousness, that's Christ, exceeding glory. And go down to verse 18. It says, or verse 13, Moses put a veil over his face, verse 13. The children of Israel could not look upon his face because his face was shining. And he came down. Well, look at verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, that's what you're looking at right now, the looking glass of his word, the glory of the Lord. And we're changed into the same glory. Same image, from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. Now go on down to chapter 4. It says, verse 6, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God." Where? In the face of Jesus Christ. The light of the knowledge. The Lord make His face to shine upon thee. If He does, He's going to reveal Christ to you and in you. And you know what's going to happen to you? Your face is going to glow. Like Moses. I've seen it. I've seen the light come on in faces. I've preached and preached and preached to faces, dark countenances. No light. It was the old saying, light's on, nobody's on. Well, there wasn't even light on. Dead. Sleeping. Sleep with death. Dead. That was me. Dead. And then one day, God said, "Let there be light." In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son through the preaching of the gospel. You didn't come to the light. The light shone on you. You were apprehended by the light. Paul didn't see the light. The light saw him. The light surrounded him. The gospel's called a net. It apprehends you. A light shone round about you. Blinds you like it did Saul of Tarsus. Blinds you to your own goodness. Blinds you to everything and everyone but the glory of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, "God forbid that I should glory save at the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ." The light of the knowledge of the glory of God is seen in the face, the person, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you ever do see Him, your light, your eyes will shine. Your face will shine. It's like looking at the sun. Have you ever looked at the sun? You can't look at it long. Sure you have. Don't shake your head. Sure you have. Didn't mean to. But you look at the sun, what do you see after you look at the sun? Spots. Sunspots. Everywhere you look. Everywhere you look. If you ever see Christ as all in all, if you ever really see Christ as the reason, the purpose for all things, you'll see Christ in everything. If you ever see Christ in God's Word, you'll see Him everywhere. You'll see Him everywhere. God lifted up His countenance upon you. Look at verse 26 in our text. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and lift up His countenance. Go back. Oh, my. No wonder. Go past it. Verse 25. The Lord be gracious unto thee. The Lord be gracious unto thee. By grace are you saved. You know you can substitute Christ's name for grace. By grace are you saved. By Christ are you saved. He is the grace of God. By grace are you saved. Grace means gift. Grace is not an offer of God. It's an act of God. Amen. He says the Lord be gracious unto you then. Not offer you. It doesn't say the Lord offer you grace. No. Lord be gracious unto you. Give grace. Bestow grace. Like mercy. Like love. The Lord bestows it. The Lord is merciful and shows mercy. The Lord, He said, "I will show mercy. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious." If you hear, believe, and see Christ crucified, the Lord has been gracious to you. The Lord has blessed you with this unspeakable gift, which is Christ. Christ crucified. So, by grace are you saved, grace bestowed upon you. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And it goes on to say in verse 26, the Lord lift up His countenance upon them. That seems to imply the Lord smile upon you. That lift up His countenance. You know, when your countenance is downcast, you're frowning, aren't you? When your countenance is down, you're frowning. When it's up, you're smiling. So it says, the Lord lift up His countenance upon you. The Lord smile upon you. Now the Lord God does not smile upon this present evil world, unlike these false preachers said. God is angry with the wicked every day. When you're angry with someone, right, I just said it and what happened to my brow. When you're angry with someone, You don't smile at them. You don't smile. The wrath of God, John 3:36 says, abides on them that don't believe. The wrath of God, not the love of God. Anger of God. When you see evil, when you see wickedness, when you see injustice, when you see God's people hurt, when you see these things, do you smile? It makes you angry, doesn't it? It makes you mad, you frown. It not only grieves you, but it makes you angry. When God looked down upon this world before the flood, he saw the wickedness of man was evil, only evil continually. He wasn't smiling. And God looked at Sodom, he was not smiling with him. He said, I'm going to destroy man who I created. And he says he's going to do it again. But God. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. How? God told Noah to prepare an ark. And he said, come thou and thy house into the ark. Come into the ark, Noah. And everyone in that ark, God was smiling on. I say this all the time. It would have been mockery if Noah had put a bumper sticker on the outside of that ark. Smile. God loves you. But I tell you what. It was on the inside. Because they were brought in. They were chosen. They found grace. They were brought into that ark. They were shut up. Sealed. They were pitched. Pitched. They couldn't get out. Nobody could get to them. Smile. If you're in Christ, that's why Paul said, I want to be found in him. That's what it meant. Smile if you are, because God loves you. Oh, Lord, lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Verse 26. Give thee peace. Peace with God is a gift. It comes from God. We don't make our peace with God. That's blasphemy. God must confer that. God must pronounce that peace. And the only way we have peace with an offended God is one way. Somebody tell me how.
Jesus
Christ. He is our peace. He made peace by the blood of his cross. By his stripes we are healed. The chastisement of our peace was laid on him. He made peace. Now let me smile when I say that. He made peace for us. He said that in John 14:27. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Accepted in the beloved. Not as the world giveth unto you. False peace. And there is no peace. But peace by Christ. Peace by his blood. There is no other peace with God. There is no other peace of mind. There is no other peace of conscience except the law fulfilled by Christ. See, the law convicts us. If we see the law fulfilled by Christ, the law has no more claim over us. Have peace. How do you feel when a policeman is in your rearview mirror? Tell me. You can be doing the speed limit. And you think, he's going to find something. That's the law. That's the law. Because what things the law saith, it saith to them that are under it, says that every mouth may be stopped. And all the world become what?
Guilty.
You know what Christ said? As a woman that came in caught in the act of adultery, and the law said, stone her. And they said, what do you say? He said, I say, not guilty. How can you say that? Because Christ is going to the cross shortly after it. He's going to pay for every one of her sins. He's going to justify her completely from all her sin by the blood of his cross. He's going to pay for every sin. And he told her, thy sins are forgiven thee. That's a blessing. And then lastly, can it get better? He said in verse 27, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel. Put my name. John wrote, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Quite often I feel like a son of Belial. Don't you? Yeah. Tell me, don't you? Can I be a son of God? Well, he said so. There was a time when I brought great reproach on my father's name. That is my earthly father, Henry Mahan. I brought shame upon him, this prodigal son. I'm thankful now that he was my father. Thankful. I had a good father. But I got a better father than that. The Heavenly Father. And he says that I bear his name. Son of God. My, my. What a blessing. Isn't that the greatest blessing of all? Huh? Be called a son of God? It says in Jeremiah 23, verse 6. What does it say, John? It says, this is the name that he shall be called. Jehovah Tsidkenu. Right? What's that mean? The Lord our what?
Righteousness.
Jehovah Tsidkenu. That's his name. He has made unto us righteousness. Righteousness. Well, over in Jeremiah 33, verse 16, it says, this is her name. His bride. His wife. This is her name. This is what you're going to call her. What? Jehovah Tsidkenu. She bears his name. As he is, so is she. So are we. And as we're righteous, holy, unblameable, unreprovable in God's sight. Who said so? He did. The Lamb's wife. The Lamb. I hope my wife is glad and feels blessed to be my bride. I hope that. I think she does. But I tell you, if you're the bride, the wife of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know how blessed you are. And you know the only women that he married, don't you? Forlorn ones. Like Gomer. Are you a Gomer? Are you? That's who he came to save. That's who came to marry. I don't much like weddings. I certainly don't like performing them. Unless it's two believers. If it's a believer and unbeliever or two unbelievers, I don't do it, really. I don't do it. My dad one time said, when he's saying the vows, you know, they're saying the vows, he said he always wants to say, all right now, how long is this going to last? 6 months. But now, when the Lord marries his bride, how long is it? How long is it going to last?
Forever.
So what God has joined together, no man can put asunder. And marriage, Paul said in Ephesians 5, I speak of Christ and his church. He said, you may file for a divorce. I'm not going to give it to you. Isn't that what he said? You may run from me, but I'll find you. You may be unfaithful to me. And this is a blessing, people. Isn't this a blessing? You may be unfaithful to me, but I'll never be unfaithful to you. And that love is what wins that backsliding wife and bride of his back, like Hosea and Gomer. But this one thing I do love, and if I marry two believers, and I married John and Irene. I can't remember if I married anybody else in here. I don't know. But John and Irene, anyway. That was a blessing, wasn't it? You remember that? And it wasn't that a great blessing? They stood before me. Both of them know the Lord and love the Lord. The Lord loves them, knows them. And they stood there, and I preached the gospel, and they were listening intently. And these vows, John, do you take this woman? Irene, do you take this man? And they meant it before God, before these women, didn't you? That was a blessing. They're still together after all these years. That's a blessing. And this is what I started doing years ago. At the end of that, end of the ceremony and all, I have the bride and the groom turn around and face everybody, and I say, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, I now present to you Mr. and Mrs. John Davis. I love that. I love doing that. See, that woman is never that before. For how many years you were not Mrs. John Davis, you are now. And how many years you did not belong to Christ? Well, you did, and you didn't know it. But one day, the pronouncement comes. I present unto you the bride of Christ. John Sheesley, Mike Anderson. Oh, blessed are they that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he ends this by saying, I will bless them. Tell them, I will bless them. You know, God does all things after the counsel of his will. No one has free will but God. He worketh all things after the counsel of his will. When God says, I will, he shall. God says, I will work, and who shall let me? Who shall prevent it? He says, I will bless them. When old Esau wanted to undo the blessing of Jacob, remember that? Isaac blessed Jacob in Esau's place, and Esau said, change it. He said, I can't. He said, I blessed him, and he shall be blessed. I can't undo it. When old Balaam, they tried to pay him to curse Israel. Remember that? Curse him. He said, I can't. Because if God blesses them, they're blessed. So this is the blessing. Did this bless you?
Yeah.
This is what I'm told to tell you from the Lord. If you believe him, if you trust Christ, if you look to him, he said he'll bless you, and he has. And he says he will always bless you, and he will. Blessed be his name. Stand with me.